earlier in chapter 3, some people came to insinuate John, and they said, the man you baptized the other day, look at him, he's standing there baptizing, and many people were going to him. And John the Baptist said, did I not tell you that he must increase, I must decrease? Did I not tell you that he who comes from above is above all? I told you that me, I am baptizing with water, but he who comes after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Did I tell you that he who has the bride is the bridegroom? The friend of the bridegroom only rejoices when the bride connects with the bridegroom. So Jesus ought to increase. His ministry ought to increase. People going to him ought to increase. I must continue to decrease. What a great spirit in Brother John. What a great spirit in the life of this man. He will not allow anybody to mobilize him unto competition. One of the things that have destroyed the ministry and the missionary focus of God's people is competitive ministry. A lot of people are where they are not supposed to be simply because they are contrasting and competing themselves with another person. When I hear them say, this man has the biggest church in town, he is the most general, the greatest general of the Lord's army, all such statements kills the missionary spirit. Because you would like to sit tight. You would like to be comparing and contrasting. So when they said, when the Lord heard that the Pharisees have heard and they are discussing how Jesus had baptized more disciples, more people than John the Baptist. Did you see what they were trying to do now? They were beginning now to say, this one has now become a bigger baptizer, a bigger preacher, a bigger minister. When Jesus knew that the Pharisees had heard how that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John, let me show you what Jesus did. I began from there because that's where that chapter began. Hallelujah. And it was important because that is the context for the verse 34 that we are going to be looking at very soon. That was the basis of what led to the entire chapter. Now, the Bible said, and I want you to look at it quickly, the Bible noted, when the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, what did he do? In verse 3, what did Jesus do? He left Judea. He left Judea and departed started again. Oh my God. This chapter is overwhelming. What did Jesus do? All of you, please look up here. What did Jesus do? When he heard that the Pharisees, they are sitting somewhere and they are now having a reason to contrast him with his brother John the Baptist over the matter of ministry, over the matter of who is making more disciples, over the matter of whose church is becoming bigger. And they are beginning to say, Jesus, he had made more disciples, he had made more people, he had baptized many more people than John the Baptist. Jesus did something strange. What did he do? He left Judea. He left the place where he has succeeded. He left the place where he has a crowd. He left the place where people are clapping for him. He left the place where they are contrasting him. He left the place where they say, "Kai, he has made it. He has made it. He has made it." And he was going again back to Galilee. I don't know whether you are hearing me. The reason why many have not been able to reach the unreached is because when you get to a place where crowd is crowding around you, and they are clapping for you, and they are singing for you, and there is a video that is covering you, and they are saying, "Papa is coming. The mama of the fellowship is here. And as you are coming, the person that carry your Bible, another person carry a cup of water, another person carry this, you have so many protocols because you are an important man of God. Will you hear the voice of the Lord? Will you be able to stand out of that place and begin to go to the bush?" Even you like this, you are just a student. There is nothing yet. But because you are the president of a Nivest Fellowship, 200 members, when you are coming, they say, "Papa is coming." And you look nice. And the sisters are singing. And young men are clapping for you. And as you are coming, they say, "The set man is in the house. Jam your hand together, somebody, and let us welcome the most important man in the campus." Hallelujah. And they say he's the leader of the fastest growing fellowship on this campus. He is the president of presidents. He's the bulldozer that deals with the devil offhand. And wherever he stands up like this, Satan shakes and quakes. Jam your hand together again for the man. These are the upcoming men of God. You will hear their voice tomorrow. Shout hallelujah. Now, would you like to leave that kind of place and go to the bush where nobody knows you, where nobody talks about you, where nobody sings about you, where nobody recognizes you? This was what Jesus, our pattern, the pattern missionary, the pattern servant of God, our Lord from heaven, when he had come to a place of great popularity, a place of great achievement, a place of comparative analysis. He said, no, I have not come for that. The Son of Man had come to seek and to save that which was lost. Am I communicating with you? So Jesus left. He left the crowd. He left a congregation. He left an organized crowd. He left people that were already appreciating him. He left people that were already clapping for him. He left people that were roaming everywhere around him. If he carries his leg, someone is willing to help him carry it. He left. And then they started trekking. I don't know that you are hearing me. They trekked. And the Bible said he had to pass through Samaria. As I checked, it appeared to me that to pass through Samaria on his way to Galilee was taking a longer road. It was off course. There was a straight road that he could have taken and it would have been shorter. But there was something that was compelling him to pass through Samaria, to go through a village, to go through this winding road, very dusty, to the extent that when he arrived, the way the Bible described, all of you, read your Bible now. Read your Bible now. Don't worry that even if I don't finish, when I set the agenda tonight, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to help me and to help you. Now, in chapter 4, verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being what? Being wearied of his journey. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he could have called for a miracle, and angels would come and carried him and taking him from that Judea and landing where he was going. And they said, how did you move? He said, well, I don't have to trek. He had power. If ordinary brother Philip, you remember Philip, when God wanted him to go towards the road to Azotus, do you remember what happened to him? The Bible said the Spirit of God lifted him and took him up, and by the time he landed on the road and he met the man. Jesus could give people such miracle, but for himself he trekked. Jesus, he left the city, he left a crowd, he left a gathered congregation in search of what? I will show you now. In search of what? When Jesus, being wearied of his journey, he came to this place, and being tired, what did he do? Talk to me, what did he do? He sat down by the well. Not only was he weary, he was hungry. All the disciples that went with him, they were tired, they were hungry. but they needed to go to the city to go and get food. And the master said, you go ahead, let me just stay here, let me wait here, go to the city, I will stay by this well. When the Lord, the King of Heaven, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who could actually command the sun to stand still, and you know all the miracles he did, but when he came to the looking for a soul, he left the city, he left the crowd, he left comfort, he left pleasure, and he went to this bush. Very tedious and tortuous road. I don't know how many kilometers they were trekking, but when he came to this place, he was tired, being wearied of his journey. He sat on the edge of a well. His disciples had gone to the city to go and look for food. They were all hungry. But there was a meat Jesus wanted to eat that his disciples did not know about. Are you with me? Are you still with me? Or you don't like this exposition again tonight? I think you should like it. Let's study the Bible. Now, Jesus was sitting there, and this woman came, the woman of Samaria. Because it is not the woman I'm talking about tonight, her story will have been something else for us to deal with. But that's a woman whose life needed a savior. Oh my God, how can I explain what I want to tell you? Do you know that because I have been preaching for many years, and because God, by mercy, has given us opportunity of preaching all over the place, all over the world, you've traveled here, you have traveled there, you have traveled here, you have traveled here, you sat with thousands of people, thousands and thousands of people. When I decide that I want to go and preach in a village to 5 people, do you know what many people say? Say, hey, Bragbile. Why? Why? At your level? You mean you are still going to villages? No, you should have graduated from that. Some of us were used to talking to a large crowd that you don't know how to talk to one soul again. You have become so arrogant that the value of a soul no longer affects you. Because some of you, you think you are very big now to go to primary school and go and talk to those primary school children that needed the message of salvation. You say, no, 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 no. I speak to kings now. The anointing that is upon me is for kings, is for commissioners, is for business people. No. I know what is pushing you there is their pocket. Is the envelope they will give you when you have gone to preach. That is the decision. It's not about souls. But look at Jesus. Look at my master. Look at him. He went and sat waiting for a soul. and I want to describe it. I'm very conscious that I don't have time tonight, but I want to describe it. This woman came, and Jesus was looking for a hook. He just needed a hook to be able to get into conversation with this woman that is in need. This woman whose life has been scattered. This woman that you see, I think she's about 36 years of age. But she has married 5 husbands. And she's in the house of number 6. Scattered life. Wasted destiny. The dream she had as a teenager had been scattered. She's been kicked up and down like football between men. And of course, I know what they did to her. The more I study her story, the more I knew the kind of woman she was. Can I tell you a little about that? When Jesus saw her, I just said, "Madam, can you give me a drink?" Those of you that know the Bible, when Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, went to look for Rebecca for Isaac, what was the bait? What was the bait? "Can you please give me some water to drink?" And the man said, "Whichever woman I will say, please give me water to drink. And she will agree not only to give me water, but she will give my camel. That will be the woman for my master's son." But the King of Kings is sitting here. The one that can change her destiny is sitting here. The one that has everything she had been looking for in life is sitting here. And say, "Madam, can you just give me a drink?" Those of you that read your Bible, I don't have time, I will have been reading for you. Do you know what the woman said? Do you know what the woman said? I said, "Huh? You are a Jew. You are asking me, a Samaritan lady, to give you water to drink. Go and meet your lady, your sisters now." I said, no wonder she could not stay with a husband. Did you understand that? Her mouth is so sharp like razor blade. "Madam, give me a drink." If she will not give him, she will have said, "So, no, I can't give you." That would have been all right. But instead of giving him a drink or saying, "I don't want to give you a drink," he said, "You, who are you that you are asking me to give you a drink?" You know, her neck suddenly became elongated. She said, "Yes, are you not a Jew? Me, I'm a Samaritan woman. And you're looking for a drink from me." And she was doing like this. And Jesus looked at her with compassion and said, "If you have known the gift of God, and he who is asking you to give him a drink, you will have asked me to give you my own water." I thought that that was a clue. If you meet a stranger, if you did not know him at the first time, and he gave you a hint, he said, "If only you have known the gift of God, and if only you have known he who is speaking to you, you will have just asked me to give you my own water." Hey! She opened her tap. Her mouth is like a tap. She said, "Hey! You like this? Who are you? Are you greater than Jacob, our father, who gave us this well, who himself drank from it and his children and his cattle. Who are you?
Where are you going to get the weather you are talking about,
Mr. Man? I tell you a story that is very funny to me now. I went to Uniben several years ago to go and preach. I was the invited guest speaker. They have advertised this meeting all over their campus. They've been praying for this meeting for I don't know how many weeks. And the preacher is here. Because, as usual, I was coming in just as a brother. So as I was entering, I met some ladies that were going for the meeting. I said, excuse me, where is the CU meeting? He said, don't talk to us. Don't talk to us. And they snubbed me and they went. So I started navigating my way until I got to the hall. So I sat in the hall. They were singing and singing and singing and singing. They did not know that the preacher has arrived. So when they called me up and they say our speaker, Brother Gbile Akani, is coming to us from Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. He's a lecturer. He's this. They were introducing me in all those manner, which I don't, it's not my business. So when I went up to preach, the girls collapsed. They said, that's the man we pushed as we were coming. I had not finished preaching. As I was just coming down from the passage, they ran. They said, please, sir, this is how some of us normally put problem on our lives. Please forgive us. I said, no, you did not offend me. He said, no, we offended the man of God. I said, no. No, you didn't offend me. You didn't know me now. He said, this is what the Bible said. That some people entertain angels unawares. We have missed our blessing. I said, you won't miss your blessing. Now, this woman, her mouth, I said, it's like tap water. Who are you? Are you bigger than Jacob, our father, who gave us this water to drink and himself drank from it? And Jesus, very patiently, I will tell you something about Jesus, the missionary, the pattern man who came on mission to save souls, to bring men to the kingdom of God. And if any of you want to honestly be like Jesus, something will happen to you tonight. God will give you a different heart tonight. Unless a new heart comes on you, you will not be able to fulfill what God is talking to us about. You will not be able to respond to the purpose of God at a time like this. Praise the Lord. Jesus said to this woman again, say, whosoever drinks of this water will thirst. But whosoever will drink of the water that I will give him, he will never thirst again. Actually, the water that I will give him shall become in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You used to come here to a well. But I want to plant a well inside of you. I thought that kind of discussion should have woken her up as, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Who are you, sir? I hope I'm not talking to a wrong person. You know what that lady said? She said,
Where will you get the water? Where will you get the water? You don't even have a bucket to draw. And this well is very deep. She's describing a well to the creator of all wells. She's talking to he who before Abraham was, I am. Before the grandfather of Jacob. Ignorant. She said the well is very deep and you have nothing to draw with. Where are you getting that water?
Then, cynically, she said, well, Mr. Man, give me that your water and I'll make a drink so that you will not come here again. She was being cynical. You know that she did not say, please give me that water. He said, give me that water now so that I will not come here to draw.
And Jesus looked into her straight and said, go call me your husband.
Excuse me? What is the matter of husband here? We are talking of water, you are talking of husband. I have no husband.
We are talking of water, you are talking of husband. What brings husband to this matter now? Jesus said, yes, you have told the truth that you have no husband. Actually, you have five husbands. You have had five husbands. And number six that you are staying with now, actually, is not your husband. You're only using him to cover up. Do you want to say?
Are you a prophet?
Something happened. Praise the Lord.
I perceive that you must be a prophet. Then instead of falling on her knees and say what you say is true. Actually, I have been struggling with my marriage. I have had five husbands. Everything has scattered. In fact, I'm in the house of number six now, and I don't know when I will pack out because everything is difficult. I can't even call him my husband. Kai, how did you know me so much?
Do you know that was not her confession? She said,
are you a prophet? Our father said,
it's on this mountain that we worship the Lord. But you Jews say it's in Jerusalem. Can you imagine? Now, let me take a brief pause now. Can I pause? Are you following me? I will say, if I were the one, if I were Jesus, and I have power, like Jesus have power, you know what I would have done? I will have called forth the anointing to discipline that woman. Are you hearing me? If I were Jesus, who has the unlimited word of knowledge, that say, while you were under the tree, I saw you. If I were Jesus, that had that kind of word of knowledge, to know that this woman had five husbands before. Do you know the first time when she said, are you not a Jew? Asking me to give you water? Me, a Samaritan woman? You know what I would have done? I would have used my word of knowledge to flog her. That's what some of you want to do. if you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Some of you will like to use the gift of the Holy Spirit to these people, not to save souls. That's why I see many of us, just because you speak in tongues, Horikababa sende yerebobo sundorobo sorobo ro rex rex moribo sandaraba shindaraba baba kandorobo sende yerebo sakata yaba. Because you have no passion for souls, you will even use the gift of the Holy Spirit for show. You will use the Spirit to promote and arrogate yourself. No compassion for souls of men. I was, if I were the one, I will mess up that woman. I would have just said, who are you? You are talking. Bloody harlots. Thus says the Spirit of the Lord. In 1999, you had a wedding with Mr. Charles. 3 years down the line, you went and met Mr. Bernard. Bernard was the best friend of Charles. That's why Charles could not allow you. Do you remember how he beat you and threw you into the house? And threw you out. And for 2 years, you were roaming on the street. Then before, one unfortunate man, Mr. Ogunkunle, met you. Word of knowledge. I would have been sir, isn't it? But look at Jesus. He knew everything about her. He knew all her story. And yet, Jesus did not violate the dignity of that woman. He was patient for that woman to come to the point of conviction. By the time Jesus brought her to the place of conviction, do you remember? She dropped that bucket and ran back to town. Come and see. Come and see. The man who has told me all that I ever did. Could this not be the Messiah? Now I'm asking, Jesus, a crowd puller. Jesus, a miracle worker. Jesus, that if he comes to a place, people will remove the roof to come and meet him. How could he be so patient to speak to only one reluctant soul who argued with him until he could bring her unto conviction? Perhaps tonight you are going to be praying with me. Give me the heart of Jesus. Do you know how so many times, just because we went out to preach and someone just looked at you and said, you're a dropout. That's why you are preaching. You're a dropout. You got annoyed. Me? You call me a dropout? Who are you? Who are you? Is it because I am trying to humble myself to come and talk to you? You are saying, me, I'm a dropout. Let's forget the gospel. If not for this gospel that I'm preaching, you can't even match me. My junior brother will be 5 years older than you. Bro, let's go. This boy is not ready to be saved. Did you see? You are more conscious about yourself than about the need for a soul to be saved. You are more concerned about your prestige than for a life to be affected. You will rather go to where they can sing your praise than where you will dirty and soil your hand to sort out a soul that is about to perish. So when this woman ran back to town and she began to say, come and see. I think her song was, come and see. Come and see what the Lord has done. Come and see what the Lord has done. Maybe that was the song she was singing. Come and see a man that has told me all that I ever did. He has removed the bucket of sorrow from my head. He has given me a ray of hope. He has shown me that my life can change. I don't know whether he will still be sitting there, but come and see. When the woman went to the city, the disciples came back. I don't know where they went. Why should my life again, despite the grace of God, despite everything, why will my life again be a source of sorrow to your heart? They told Timothy, he said, take heed to these things so that you may both save yourself and those that hear you. Which means, in the priority of Christ, yourself first. But if I'm talking to young men who have not ended their relationship with sin, why will you go out and tell anybody? I went somewhere to preach. Please hear me. These are stories I went to a meeting and I thought that this sister is a sister. So she followed me to go and preach. And then we encountered a demon. And as I was walking up and I say, you demon, we cast you out in the name of Jesus. We cast you out. We cast you out. We cast you out. And I said, since she's a lady, let the sister lay hands on her while I'm binding the demon. The girl we are casting the demon out had been quiet while I was the one shouting. Once that sister brought her hand, the girl stood up. He said, you also, you want to put your hand in this matter? Don't I know you? When did you change? When did you change? Ah. I said, she's a Christian. You say you don't know her. The demon was arguing with me that I don't know my sister. I managed to silence it. I said, keep quiet. You are the accuser of the brethren. I said, no. I know what I'm talking about. But if you say I should keep quiet, because of the name of Jesus, I keep quiet. When we left, I asked her, what did you have in common with the devil? That the devil is talking. It was then she started saying, you know, uncle, there is something that I have not been able to confess. And as we were going, and you said we are going to pray, I almost told you to excuse me, but I was afraid and I was ashamed. I said, what is it? Then the only story that came to my mind was the sons of Sceva. When the demons stood up and said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, who are you? And they did not just say that, oh, they carried Koje and began to beat these seven sons of Sceva until they ran out naked. Let me ask you a question before we pray. Are you sitting in this meeting? You have not settled your walk with the Savior. Though Jesus had come to destroy the works of the devil, you have a way of keeping some of it in your bosom. Whosoever covereth his sin, what did the Bible say about him? He shall not prosper. He will not make progress. No matter what he does, it will scatter. Are you the one say yes, whether they like it or not? I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Are you sure? Didn't the Bible say, whosoever is committing sin is of the devil? For it is the devil that sinned from the beginning. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest. To do what? To destroy the works of the devil. So as we pray together, I am raising two issues here tonight. I'm saying, what will my life bring to the Savior? When I see the passion of Christ, when I see how he will even forget his prestige to sit by the well, to bring to the point of deliverance a reluctant, argumentative soul who was insulting him, and he did not call down the fire to fall on their head. But while I am crying about that, I need to deal with something more urgent. Are you sitting in this meeting? Is it right between you and the Savior? I say, if you cannot bring him what longs to have, why must you also bring to him what pains his heart? That's the beginning of our prayer tonight. You cannot acquire the kind of spirit that God wants to release in this meeting until these issues are resolved. And I'll call on you tonight to join me in prayer. And I ask you, this is not a question of looking left or right. It's a matter of saying, Lord, my destiny has to be changed in this meeting. My journey in life has to be made straightforward. Your purpose for my life must be well established. I cannot waste my life anymore. My life must not be a waste. Will you rise with me as we pray together? Please rise as we pray together. And I will pray first, then I will request you to pray. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, please come down and do your work in our midst. As you reveal Jesus to us, he could leave a crowd in search of one soul. He can leave 99 to go and look for one that is lost. He canceled his itinerary when he saw the man, Zacchaeus, from Jericho. He said, I'm not going again. I will sleep in his house just for one soul to be helped. People say, how could he go and sleep with a man who is a sinner? He did not mind because he looks for men to save. Lord, tonight, while we are looking for many bigger things, I know you will not mind even sitting with one soul in this meeting tonight to say, it's for you I came. I came to sort you out. I came to forgive you. It doesn't matter how many years you have disappointed me. I have not given up on you. I came that you may be helped. That's the first cry in the heart of the Savior tonight. Can you pray and say, Lord, whatever I had done in time past, whatever thing have happened and have brought disappointment to you, Lord Jesus, just as I am, without any explanation, without one plea, please take me as I am. Jesus, as you sorted out that woman out, you didn't embarrass her. I know you will have mercy on me tonight. Jesus, the great shepherd, he led a big crowd just for one soul. He abandoned the crowd of Jericho just for a Zacchaeus. He diverted himself to the pool of Bethesda just to pick one man who had been in infirmity for 38 years. Lord, I know, even if it's for one soul in this meeting tonight, you will give attention. Tonight, Lord, I'm asking. Tonight, Lord, I'm asking. In your mercy tonight, sort someone out in this meeting. I can see your overwhelming patience. You didn't get annoyed with her misbehavior until you brought her to the place of rest. Lord, tonight you will do it again. Holy Spirit, please walk in this place now. Who knows, oh God, whether this life has been waiting to be helped and is the one that will bring the rest of that campus. Do it for us tonight. Thank you for hearing. Now, my friends, this is the first matter of prayer. Until that woman was sorted out, the rest of Samaria could not be reached. Until that lady was helped, no one in Samaria could have been helped. That's how important your life could be tonight. And as we begin to cry to God, I want you to step before Him and say, Lord, I've heard your voice. I have heard your voice. Deliver me tonight. My life was not going to be a disappointment to you again. Save me by yourself. All those who are in this meeting tonight, you know, even before we start talking about going somewhere, the Lord has need of you. Can you walk out? God bless you, my dear sister. God bless you, that brother. Just walk out anywhere you are. Say, Lord, I'm here. I have argued with you for many years. I have struggled with your word. I have tried many times. I've disappointed you. This night, Lord, have mercy on me. Where are you, please? My friend, please come down.
My dear sister, please come down. He has not come to embarrass you tonight. He has come to save. He has come to deliver. He has come to forgive you. That woman had 5 husbands. Even if you have aborted many times, he is not here to condemn you. He came to save. He came to deliver you. He came to forgive you. He came to cleanse you. He came to set you. Thank you, my friend. What a love. Thank you, my dear sister. Thank you, my brother. Oh, Robo Shanda Yabababa Kaura Mashiria. Lika Tauyama Kando Robo Shenda Baba. Thank you, my friend. Oh Lord, please give them space. Please give them space. Sister, come. God bless you. My brother, please come. That sister, just walk out. My life will no longer be a pain to you. Thank you, dear sister. Please give her space. My brother, please give them space. Sister, come down. Come down. God bless you. 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 Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, that sister. Please walk out. Tonight is a night. Jesus has come. See how patient he had been with that girl. See how she was arguing. She was dodging. My brother, just come down. Just come find a space. There's still a space for you. Sister, thank you. God bless 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 you. Tonight is a turning point. Tonight is the night God has ordained. Why did he detour from his journey? Just for that one woman. Why would God bring you to this meeting? Just for you. Just for you. Thank you, my dear sister. Thank you, my brother. Just walking. Destiny is changing tonight. A new thing is beginning tonight. Thank you, my dear sister. God bless you. God bless you. Please give her a chance. God bless you. God bless you. Lord, you are patient. Lord, you are patient until everything was resolved. Please let her come in. Don't shut the door yet. Please don't shut the door yet. The door you see open. Barubo Sheka. Barubo Shinto Robo Sambaba. Daza Baba. Thank you, my dear sister. Just come. Just come. But take me as I am. And take me as I am. Oh, my own. Please open the way. Open the way. Let that brother come in. Let that young man walk in. As I am, and take me as I am. As I am, and take me as I am. As I am, my own. Only play Christ that. Please let that sister come in. Please allow her to come in. Allow that lady to come in. Please move in quickly. Today I cry, unless thou help me, I must die. Oh, bring thy free salvation. Thank you, my brother. Just find a space. Just find a space. Tonight is your night. Tonight is their night. Tonight is the night that God has ordained. Just come. Just come in. Just come in.
young man just kneel down somewhere and say, Lord, help me, help my soul. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Why am I waiting? There's still one heart that needs to come. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my brother. The Holy Spirit is saying, it's for your sake that I've come. Thank you, that sister. Thank you, that sister. Thank you, that sister. The Spirit is still knocking on somebody's heart and said, tonight, I branch here. I took a weary, long journey just for you. Thank you, dear sister. Oh, take me out. Are you coming here? Please come. Please come. God bless you. Please come. Please come. God bless you. God bless you. That sister, please come. Thank you. God bless you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Tonight is on the night. A night when you have ordained to help souls. Thank you, sister. Just be on your knees. Just go on your knees. Just go on your knees. Oh, take me as I am. God bless you tonight. Mari Bashan. Matara Baba Sabara Mashini. Oh, my Lord. The only thing I'm crying for is that you help me tonight. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Just one more time now. Oh, take me out as I am. Oh, take me out as I am. I only pray. I want you to know, no matter how much damage, Jesus has come to overrule it. I said he did not embarrass the woman. He did not make her an experimental pig. He changed her story. She became a woman of dignity. She became the link through which the whole of Samaria came to the Lord. There's a divine hand of God stretched out on your life tonight to forgive you. Don't hide anything. Just tell him, just as I am. Whatever it is that has been the issue, the up and down, the secret failures, secret sin that will not let you become anything, lay it at his feet tonight. There's a blood that will speak on our behalf. The blood that speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood that forgives, that cleanses. The Lord will cleanse you tonight. The Lord will change your story tonight. The Lord Almighty himself, he has branched. You are his priority tonight. Everything else can wait until you are sorted out. Every other food can wait until God has sorted your life out. And I stand here before the Lord on your behalf tonight. He will sort you out. The Lord will sort your life out. Every hold of sin, every hold of Satan on your life is canceled in the name of Jesus. Every perforations, everything that crippled your life, this night, the Prince of Peace has come. There shall be peace in your life. There shall be peace in your heart. There shall be a total deliverance in the name of Jesus. Every work that Satan did, we cancel his signature over your life by the hand of the Almighty God tonight in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I ask, sprinkle the blood of Jesus upon these ones. Let the blood of Jesus speak on their behalf. Change their filthy garment tonight. Rather than bring you something nauseating, their life will bring you joy. From this night, oh God, when they will rise in victory. They will rise never to fall again. They will rise never to disappoint you again. That woman left the pot. That pot of sorrow she carried for years. That pot of confusion. She dropped it at the feet of the master. She went home free. Every pot of confusion, every pot of sin, every pot of demonic activities in your life, you will drop it here in the name of Jesus. The Lord will set you free. He will set you free. He will release you. You will have a story to tell. You will have a testimony. Your generation will celebrate you in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, I plead that as they have opened their lives to you tonight, thou, the Lord, you say you will give that woman a well, springing up to eternal life, sink a well in their souls from this night. Sink a never drying well within their souls in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Please rise on your feet now. As you have lied down before the Lord, please now rise on your feet. And in rising, the Lord will raise you up. Sin will never cut you short again. Satan will no longer have power over your life. Today, 17th of November, has entered into eternal record. Every record of death against your life hereby is cancelled. And the Lord is opening a new book on your life, a new register. He's taking away the garment of sin, is replacing it with garment of righteousness. From this night, you will go in the spirit of grace. You will move in the spirit of holiness. The power of God will rest upon you. So will it be. So put that hand on your heart and just say, Jesus, take your space in my heart. I will live to glorify you. My life will be a testimony to you. Take your space in my heart. Be the Lord of my life. And that from this night, I will walk with you. I will love you. I say bye-bye to sin. I say bye-bye to the devil. I say bye-bye to those entanglements. I will walk with you. And my life will be a joy to you. As there will be joy in heaven tonight, so will my life continue to bring you joy all the days of my life. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Thank you. Now, this is a very critical step God has led you to take. And I'd like you to please look at that, my senior friend. Let's go together quickly. Let's go this way. Let's just go together with him. Let's go together. Please give Jesus a good hand. If there's any joy in heaven, there is joy in heaven today because of this, my friends. I will hear about them. They are going to become great vessels in the hand of God. Sister, brother, it will be well with you. As you are going out today, Satan is crying and saying, "Hey, so these ones are going, but you are not going to catch you again. The hand of God will stand by you." Please move on, move on, move on with them. Keep clapping until they get to where we are going. Please Please give Jesus a good hand, because God is doing a new thing now. God bless you. God bless you. Please keep moving. Brothers, please move on.